Hey everybody, and welcome to hands down the most engaging Wild Ride with Steve-O yet. We are talking engagement because this is my fiance Lux Wright. And yeah, maybe you know her from all of our naked photos on Instagram. Maybe you don't. Either way, I love this woman. She is the shit. And she opens up so much. We get so personal on this episode. This episode is the shit. And when I'm taking a shit, you better believe I am well equipped for the most healthy bowel movement possible. Why? Because before my shit, I put my feet on my squatty potty. What does that do? That puts my knees in a position where poop comes out completely and fully. Why? Because the human body is designed not to sit on a toilet, but think about it. Cavemen, they crouch in the freaking woods, man. That's how the body was designed to poop. And squatty potty lines you up in that natural, healthy position. Otherwise, man, you can have all kinds of health risks if you don't poop in this position. And the answer is squatty potty, man. Telling you, dude, it's a complete bowel movement for total poop health. And you gotta have it. So how do you get it? You go to squattypotty.com/Steve-O. They got all kinds of cool stuff, and it's a really fun website. Plus, if you use squattypotty.com/Steve-O, 20% off your order. Man, I've been using this for years, dude. Literally, like 8 years since I got my first one. And I never turned back. Neither will you. So head to squattypotty.com/Steve-O right now, and let's get into it.
That's the air tag?
Dude, we should do one where you, like, stick it up your ass. And try to find you. Like a little a hunt.
Oh, wow. That is funny.
Just, like, you put it up your butt, and you just run into the bushes.
And it's, like, dark out or something?
I'm
like,
ready to put some serious shit up my butt.
Run into a cornfield. And we got to, like, find you, like, we're geologists tracking Bigfoot. Dude, a Sasquatch suit. And then you, like, go into the forest like you're fucking Sasquatch.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're trying to find you,
that's
like.
That's great, because you need, like, a stunt or something to do while you're Sasquatch.
For sure.
Let's just do this,
okay? Are we rolling on all cameras?
Yeah. We sure are, Scott.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lux Wright. Hey,
yeah.
Baby.
Hey, baby. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Yep.
Hello.
Welcome to the Wild
Lux.
Ride.
So far.
Yeah, I'm over here.
Yeah, thanks.
Paul has a great question prepared for you.
Okay.
That's right off
right
the bat.
Right off the bat, yeah. We're in.
So what's your favorite sexual position?
Yeah, let's warm up a little.
Well, no, I think a lot of people don't know how you and Steve met. I think that's a good start.
They got to know that, right?
We met on set, on a job. You were there.
I was there. Yeah. And then you saw Steve.
I didn't know you were there.
And what attracted you to Steve?
Well, it's like, obviously his looks are attractive, but I was so impressed with his overall awareness of everything that was going on during the shoot. I mean, everything, and how he handled it, how dedicated he was to filming. It was impressive.
What was the shoot? Oh, I'm sorry.
She says, I couldn't believe what an attention whore he was.
No, no, not on that level. I mean, like, all the departments, like, you were just so aware of everything. It was like you were like a dedicated crew member, like, and not just like typical talent on set. Like, it was impressive.
And so what'd you ask him when you went up to him? Because I don't think I've ever talked about this, but when I remember the first time you guys met.
Okay.
And then you walked away and Steve's like, is she a dopey?
Is she a dopey?
Yes.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, like, are you a nug?
Yeah.
are you like, a
stoner?
No. Like a dope, good-looking chick.
Oh, okay.
Dopey. Like, are you like?
Do you remember saying that to me?
I remember saying that. I think what I remember is that they had like 3 models, like, paid to be there to look hot.
I think they were dancers. Yeah.
And I was like, dude, they paid these chicks to look hot. Like, they're not even as hot as Lux over here.
Thanks, man.
And then you reached out to Steve.
She was, okay, to be clear, Lux was wearing a ring on her wedding finger.
Yeah.
Like the marriage ring.
I mean, I wear rings.
And so
yeah.
I understood that she was taken. And I was respectful.
You're being respectful, yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt like when we had our goodbye, I felt like it was like a very, like, it was like, cool, so nice working with you. And it was very, like, dragged out. Like, we just kept, like, talking and repeating things. Like, well, yeah, well, I hope to see you again. Like, okay, cool. See, have like a good night. Times. And then I was just like, what the heck is happening? Yeah. I just, like, I felt like we did have a connection overall in the shoot. Like, we kept it professional. But then, like, a week later, I was just still felt like it was just different. So I was like, I'm going to shoot my shot and just see.
And then so, you guys went on a date?
She slid into the DMs.
Yeah.
And what was the DM?
It was just like, hey, it was so great working with you. Like, you know.
I specified what the job was so he would know it was me, just in case he read it. I don't know. And then and I signed it like a little flirty, I think like something with like a XO or a heart emoji or something. So it wasn't like.
Wow. So that's a flirty move.
It wasn't like, you know, trying to suck your dick, but it wasn't like I just want to
be friends.
Is there
an emoji for that?
For I want to suck
banana
your dick
and the water drop
eggplants and
so you went subtle. Before you reached out to Steve, did you reach out to one of your girlfriends or like, do you think I'm gonna ask him out?
No, I just did it.
And then where was your first date?
Where was it?
Yeah,
we went to dinner
Sun Cafe.
Yeah, Sun Cafe.
It's this vegan restaurant on like Ventura Boulevard. And we showed up late. I showed up on time, but I was on a call with my agent, and so like
you showed up late on the phone.
How late?
Wait, you showed up, and then you sat in the parking lot and finished your call.
I stood outside of the restaurant.
Right.
And
did you give her like a?
No, I didn't even walk in the restaurant until I finished the call.
I mean, that's late, you know. Walking,
yeah, I was late.
The
yeah,
moment
was
you
late.
Walked yeah. in the restaurant is yeah. when
I
you got
there. I walked
in
the restaurant late. You're right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And I don't mind even saying, like, we had a European tour, which was some months before that. And there were lingering... I mean, I guess it was actually like 2 months before that it ended. There were lingering issues with promoters who had actually lost money because there were certain shows in Europe where just people weren't stoked to go watch Steve-O do comedy. And what I was on the call doing with the agent was insisting that those promoters got money refunded. As I said, I don't want to go, I never want to work with people and have them lose money. For working with me. And so I was arranging, like figuring out like how much to refund to certain promoters.
Yeah, which is good. And you're redeeming your tardiness.
I mean,
did you tell her that when you walked in there?
I don't know.
No, I didn't care. I like, it was probably like a couple years ago that you told me,
people
some
couple thousand dollars, babe.
Yeah.
Hollywood.
No, but we had a good dinner. We talked forever. I feel like the waitress came back like 20 times to get our order because we were just talking the whole time.
Right. Yeah. And when she got up to go to the bathroom, she was wearing these jeans and her ass was so rad.
Oh,
I mean, like, unbelievably rad. I even think she was like, oh, okay, you know, now I'm going to like.
That's what you say. But no.
Dude, it was insane when
she was like, I'm
going to
seal the deal with this walk right now.
Let him know.
Did you turn back around and see if he was looking?
I had my work pants on when you met me and no.
So was that a, like, let's go back to my place kind of night or not even
night?
No,
and then what did you guys do after that? Like, did you guys part ways?
At the dinner, Lux doesn't like that I make such a big deal out of this all the time. But I was so impressed with her because she was, like boiling over with enthusiasm. She was so excited about how her best friend, who's a girl named Nicole, and who has like, two kids... two jobs, you know, and she was like, I felt like Nicole needed a break. So what I did was I arranged with her jobs to get her time off. You know, I arranged with her, her boyfriend to make sure the kids were taken care of. Like, I freed up her time. She doesn't even know it. And I bought both of us, like, flights to Japan and hotels.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I could pay for, like, a whole week for her to just not have to worry about anything.
Yeah, wow. She needed it. She'd never traveled, never been out of the country. And we've been best friends since fifth grade, so.
And
we were turning 30. I was like, I want, like, you know, a monumental trip with her. And, like, I'm just going to make it happen, so.
It was really, like, striking how excited she was to do something so selfless for mm-hmm. her friend. And mm-hmm. and it impacted me. And then there's another thing that she talked about, which was her dog Olive, who's now our dog, and Olive. If anybody has seen my bucket list show, Olive the Cum Guzzler.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You're familiar, yeah.
the Olive had like a herniated disc or something.
Yeah.
And it was like the vet says, you know, she needs this back surgery or it's just we got to put her down. Mm. And it was like a $10,000, and Lux said I think that was the most. Like the biggest purchase she ever made was to save her dog.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that was those two things really made me think, okay, this is an extraordinary woman.
Aww. And so then did you guys make plans for the second date at the date, or did you say I'll call you?
I walked to the car and I think I gave her a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, which was so cute. I still to this day, I love that. And my favorite thing that you said to me.
I enjoy you.
Yeah.
You said that?
I said, I enjoy you.
It was so sweet. Kind. Yeah. And
yeah, I said, I enjoy you. And
and I love watching you walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. I enjoy you. And, yeah. It was pretty rad. It was super rad.
Yeah. And I don't remember how the second date came about.
I remember the second date. I was performing.
Oh, that's right.
At the Comedy Store.
That's right.
And I think we had already made plans to get together for dinner. And then I sort of added on it. Then I said, would it be douchey if I said, you want to come watch me perform comedy?
Right. Which wasn't, you handled it so well. It wasn't douchey at all. I loved it. It was cute.
And I remember thinking like, oh my God, like so the second date was at Hugo's. And we went from Hugo's to the Comedy Store, and as I parked in the Comedy Store, so it was like I'm pulling into this parking spot, and this guy like was like, "Dude, I was about to park there," like, and then it was just, he was like challenging my masculinity.
Yeah, it was our second date.
Yeah,
and then then the guy has like a girl come over, and I was like, "Oh, I'll get out the car." Like we're doing
but,
it,
and I'm like, and I'm like, it's not that big of a deal to me, but common sense dictates to me that it was my parking spot because like I got into it first. I don't care what I was gonna park there, like well you didn't and I did, so right. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you,
right?
But I don't want to look like a dick, and I also don't want to look like a bitch,
right? Right.
So like I was just so maddened by this, and I was and I.
Yeah, I could tell you were just like,
oh, I was like, don't fucking put me in this position. Yeah. When I'm on the second date. That's important to me. And aww. I think I turned to Lux and I was just like, am I crazy or is this ridiculous? Like right. I am in this spot. So whatever the fuck he's talking about makes no sense. And we agreed that I wasn't crazy. And I think that's what was very helpful, because rather than just, you know, knee-jerk react some way, like I kind of checked in with Lux.
Yeah.
And we sort of handled it together in a way that made sense. And it was like, and I was like, hey, you know what, dude? I think this is pretty silly, but go ahead. I think I gave him the spot.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, because you never want to leave your car, because who knows what people
would
do.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, right? Because you'd be like, oh, fuck you. And then you leave your car and walk away.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, something happens to it. Yeah. So, but
yeah. Now we joke about it. Like, I was totally going to park there.
Yeah. Right. And so then we went into the comedy club, and I performed my celebrity cocaine stories.
And what did you think of that, Lux?
I don't. I'm glad you didn't ask me what you performed, because I didn't remember, to be honest.
Good.
And then when was your first kiss?
I will never forget our first kiss. But I'll tell you, we're doing a whole lot more than kissing these days, and we are having an absolute blast. Why? Because I found out about Blue Chew tablets. They're chewable tablets with the exact same active ingredient as both Viagra and Cialis. But they're chewable and they only cost a fraction of the price. And man, I'm telling you, dude, it's a lot of fun with the kind of a boner you get from these babies. And how do you get these babies? Well, the good news is you don't have to go into some weird, awkward, doctor visit in person. Now, dude, you go to BlueChew.com and you consult with one of their medical providers right there, and it takes no time, man. Then you get these babies on the way. You know what's even crazier? Dude, if you use the promo code STEVO at BlueChew.com, you get an entire month's supply of these delicious, chewable boner tablets. And you don't even have to pay for them. A whole month's supply for free. All you pay is $5 for shipping. Man, you gotta try it, dude. Go to BlueChew.com. Use the promo code STEVO. Get an entire month's supply of these babies completely for free. Pay nothing but $5 for shipping. And get to having a wicked boner and having a really good time. Now, let's talk about that first kiss. Like about a month after we met.
Yeah, we dated for a month.
Well, we met on January 7th of 2017. Our first kiss was February 5th of 2017. Okay. So 2 days shy of a month after meeting.
Wow. Yeah.
How many dates was that?
How many dates?
I don't know.
Might have only been our third date.
Wow.
You think so?
But that feels long, like to wait a whole month. Yeah, was it like
for everybody, I feel like.
I had a checkered past.
Right,
you
so
what?
You were...
Oh, you had a checkered
past. I had a checkered past.
I thought you said I had to check her past, and I was like, wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It takes a month for the report to come back. It's like, yeah, that's green light.
Yeah,
and, so you and were kind of like, I want to do this one right, sort of? Is that how you were approaching
it? I had a terrible track record with relationships. I was very candid with Lux about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I very much wanted to kind of stick to a dating plan and do things in a responsible way and be like honest and transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was your move? Like, did you like brush your hair back and then go out with a kiss?
we were watching Super Bowl at a restaurant that we had gone there before, right? Or was that our first time at that restaurant?
I think it was probably our first time. But the thing, okay.
Oh, it was like, a Super Bowl day, the first kiss?
It was Super Bowl game.
We were actually, it was during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I just couldn't stand it. Tom Brady's so hot.
He's like, I'm getting hot over here.
Yeah.
Starting to sweat. Yeah.
Water. Like, yeah, it was cute. It was all very natural and organic and just, it was cool.
It was
a good kisser?
The difference was on that date. The difference was that we didn't meet at like a restaurant or anything. Like, she came over to the house and so I could take her on the hike across the street. We went on the hike and then we came back to the house.
She went first on the hike.
I don't know.
You can check out her butt. Yeah.
that I don't remember. But we have a guest room in the house, which is like supposed to be a kid's bedroom.
Oh yeah,
it's got this like little hidden, like sort of like fort kind of like with this tiny. It's the weirdest little thing.
Yeah,
I showed it to Lux, and we crawled into this little kid's kind of fort space.
Yeah,
that would have been a pretty dope spot for the first kiss.
Yeah, you could have.
But waiting around in there.
I was like, so what are we doing in here?
Wait, at this house?
Yeah.
Where is that?
I'll show you.
We'll crawl in there later.
All right. Me and Scott will go in there. Maybe we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's
a really cool little thing. And yeah, like that would have made sense. But then I think we were like running late for the kickoff of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you sped like a motherfucker. We got there just in time for kickoff.
Was that the first time you've seen him actually drive?
Actually, that was an impressive driving moment because it was like, time, we need to get there. And he drove well. And yeah, in retrospect, that's probably the best driving you've ever done. Because yeah. You're the worst.
I'm not a good driver.
That's for sure.
And then we made out with during the Super Bowl. And then we came back to the house and we made out with each other's peepees.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so same night.
Yeah.
Same went from the lips to the peepees.
Just straight in.
The batter's deck to third base.
Yeah. Knocked it out of the park with that one.
And
did we not have sex that night?
No, we did not. But then after the whole peepee sucking ordeal.
Yep.
Then like immediately there was no more like pacing ourselves,
right?
And like, you know,
then I moved in.
Then she moved in.
Really? That
I mean, it was. I was in a position where I was looking for a new place, And I did get an apartment because I was looking for a new place. It would have just been weird if
she was
I
in this awkward
didn't.
Living situation with like an old ex mm-hmm. where things went sideways and she was like stuck still living there. She was like super uncomfortable and she just needed to get the hell out. Mm-hmm. She was definitely looking for a new place. And then this happened with us. And it would have been very easy for her to say, hey, you know, I'll worry about getting a place later. I'm kind of having a good time with this guy, you know, like I'll just stay with him. But she was sensitive to like not putting like undue pressure on the relationship. Like what if things aren't really going well? You know, she really wanted her own sovereignty. She wanted her own. So she got this apartment and we affectionately referred to the apartment as her storage unit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I stayed there maybe 4 nights out of the year that I had it.
Really?
Maybe 4 nights. That's being generous. Yeah.
So what, you moved in there?
Yeah.
And then you met Steve like all in the same.
No, I hadn't even moved in.
She found the apartment after we met.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Before our first date, I had just come from like an apartment viewing I was actively trying to move and. Yeah, but it was important to me to get an apartment. It just made sense to not put that pressure on the relationship.
Which is a good move.
And so then where are you originally from?
Oceanside and Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
209, baby.
209, yeah. 209.
What ages?
Stockton was till I was 11, and then Oceanside was until high school. And then
How was it growing up in Stockton till 11? Did you get in a lot of fights, or did you...
Not a lot of fights.
Not a lot of fights.
I never like fought like girls, but I was definitely not. I was getting bad. Like Stockton's not a great city, or when I was there, it wasn't. It was rough. A lot of gangs. Like
I heard
a
it
lot
really
of violence.
Cleaned up.
Did it? I don't know.
Just
like
kidding.
To be honest, like I try and stay away from there because of like my memories of it. Which more recently, I've adapted to like that's where I'm from. Like. Own it kind of deal. But it was a rough spot. So, and we were poor. So it was like, you know, it was a little rough growing up there, but
then you moved to Oceanside.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
And how long were you in Oceanside for?
Junior high and high school.
And then what'd you do after high school?
I went to FIDM. It's a college. It's a fashion institute of design and merchandising.
Who do you know there?
My aunt Noni's a guidance counselor.
Okay.
So I know Noni Hillier.
Noni. Isn't that a name for her?
Noni. Yeah. Her name's Noni.
Well, that college, they have two campuses or multiples, but I went 1 year in San Diego, 1 year in L.A., and once I got to L.A., I stayed here. So I've been here for over 13 years.
And what was your major in?
Visual communications.
And that's for like, and then how'd you get into doing sets?
Which is what it's like relative to my major, so it's. I bounced around a lot. I didn't go straight from like school to what I wanted to do. I did like retail and body piercing because it's like everybody at school, it was like advised to have an internship. But I was like, I have to have a full-time job and I'm going to school full-time. Like I can't work for free. Like who the fuck can do an internship? Like,
so body piercing.
Yeah. So
how long
did
you do that for?
Not a long time. I worked there for 2.5 years, but I only did body piercing for about 6 months. And some of the craziest shit I've ever seen, even still, like to this day, is
like what
working
you
there.
Pierced
just crazy.
You pierced a lot of nipples.
Crazy shit.
Did you pierce pussies and kecks?
Yeah, and it's like some girl came in one time on her period and like didn't have a tampon in or anything. Was just like blood everywhere, and we were just like. I was like, you couldn't wait 5 fucking days? Like, why do you need to get your vagina pierced right now? Yeah, but like...
Did she do the clit or the labia?
Yeah, the clit. Mm-hmm.
That's gotta hurt.
That's gnarly.
Yeah.
You ever pierced a Prince Albert?
So, I didn't, but this guy would come in to get it stretched. Like, he had like a ladder. So, it was like multiple piercings on the shaft of his penis. And he would get them stretched.
Get what stretched? What do you mean?
The piercing. Hey,
so that it didn't like heal over?
Just
no,
give it a tug.
Yeah. I'm just
saying, he wasn't too interested in the piercing.
Yeah. Just pull on it.
Uh-huh. You guys do stretching, right? I didn't know there was an option.
Put like lotion on it.
Oh my God.
Just stretch it.
Stretch it over your wrist.
Yeah. He waited till after hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, he only came in at night.
Stretch Armstrong.
No,
tickle
but he
my
had,
balls and stretch.
Had, yeah. It's called a ladder when you get like multiple piercings on the shaft of your penis. So you have like the shaft of your penis and you have multiple piercings.
Okay.
And then he would come and get each piercing stretched.
Why? I still don't get stretched which way? Like
the hole.
Back
the hole. Okay, so you kind of got to like work it a little bit.
Oh, you mean
with
a boner?
Yeah.
With stretch, your tongue, yeah.
Stretch it up and then stretch it down.
Yeah. crazy shit.
Was that the weirdest thing that's happened to you?
I mean, it was crazy. Like, people would pass out. Like, this guy came in to get his lips pierced, and he was, like, in the service or ex-Marine. But he got his first lip pierced, like, the first piercing, and then he went to do the second one, and he passed out. And when he came back, he was, like in combat. And, like, my other piercer had to, like, hold him down. And he was, like, just not with us. Like, you could tell he was, like, wide-eyed and, like, ready to fight. And we had to be, like, you okay? You're okay. Like, you're in Oceanside. Like, you just got a piercing. You passed out. You're okay. Like, and then another guy, we thought he fucking died. Like, I went, like, he was out for so long and turning blue and not breathing. Like, I went over to the phone to call 911. And then he finally came to. And when he woke up, he was just puking everywhere. And I was just like, oh, my God. We, like, made him stay at the shop for, like, 2 hours until he was okay and, like, ordered food for him. And just people passing out all the time. Like, Jesus. Big dudes coming in to get their nipples pierced and just dropping to the ground. And it was crazy. It was a crazy job.
Do you have any weird piercings? Not weird, but.
No, I have my tongue pierced forever, which is probably still open. But I would have to stretch it. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing else too crazy. My belly button, I've had my belly button pierced since I was 14. And I've
wow.
Just, yeah.
Just, is it still pierced?
Mm-hmm. Still there.
Do you stretch it?
Yeah. <All night.
laughs> So because Lux has this past as a body modification professional,
right.
She knows about all of the bloodborne pathogens, all the stuff that you have to, you know, learn.
Oh, that's why you were so...
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, all the things that you ignore.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
So when we were in Orlando, Lux came, like, you know, on a few tour stops that were strung together. And after a show, this kid's like, dude, I brought a tattoo gun, man. Oh, will you tattoo me? And I remember it being late at night. I'm doing a meet and greet for the second time after two shows. I'm like, ugh.
He waited till after the
he was polite. He waited until the very end. And I was like, all right, dude, look, it's the last thing I want to do is more work. But I'm going to do this so fast. I'm going to tattoo Yo Mama's name on your butt cheek. And we're going to get it done so fast. I got to get the fuck out of here. But I'm going to tattoo you. So I did. I thought it was kind of funny. And then I come back to the hotel room. I'm like, oh, Lux, check it out. I gave this kid a tattoo. And I showed her a little Instagram story.
Yeah.
She says, you tattooed somebody without wearing gloves? Tell it.
Yeah. You had, and you're like, it's fine. And I look at your hands, and you have ink all the fuck everywhere underneath your nails. And you had a cut on your thumb.
I think that's an exaggeration.
It's not.
I don't.
You also had a cut on your thumb. And I was just like, well, this is... we're not having sex without a condom for 6 months. I need to get tested. Like, I don't know who this random kid is. Like, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not letting you put it in me without a condom.
And she says, we're not having sex without a condom for 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you thought I was the crazy one.
We actually boned with a rubber.
Yeah.
For like a month.
No. That is not true.
We got time off for good behavior.
We went like 5.5 months.
I don't know about 5. We did not go.
You went to Dr. Drew.
Yeah, you booked that Dr. Drew appointment pretty quick.
I went racing to Dr. Drew to get a test. That helped.
We went a long time. I remember because we had to get like creative.
But you get tested right away.
Like, that's worse than AIDS. Yeah, that's worse than the blood. Well, you were also like. You're also like, it's fine, honey. Like, he's a former heroin addict.
Right? Yeah. Oh, my God. That's right.
You know?
Because I remember he said,
dude, you're a big inspiration to me, man. You helped me get off heroin.
Oh,
And then I was like, hey, you might want to tell us that before he starts tattooing you. And he was like, oh, dude, it's all good.
I'm so glad that I'm who I am and made you not. We went for a long time. I want to say like five months. Like five
and
a half months.
We went for a long time. And then there was one night when we were in the hot tub together. We were.
And it was
things
too
got a little
hot.
Bit hot.
And then what?
And it was great because it was like, yeah, it was like 6 months of fucking condom sex. And, mm. then,
and then jacuzzi sex.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, there's chlorine in here. It'll do something.
Yeah.
I think we even.
Well, Lux, your tolerance for what Steve's does is insane. Like, or just surprising. And especially the pee belly flop that we did the other day. I was like,
yeah,
I can't believe
you. That was a lot. I got pushed to a brink that I've never been pushed to ever in my life. And I do, you know, long, crazy physical days at work. And But it was nuts.
Has that, your line mm-hmm. moved much? Like when you first started dating Steve, you're like, oh, like, were you saying like that I could never handle? But then 6 months later, you're like, here we are. Like he's shitting on the balcony.
Sounds crazy, man. But let me tell you something really crazy. I stayed up last night until 6 o'clock this morning because I'm finishing up my new book. And I'm telling you, I obliterated my first book. This thing is so good. But how am I operating just so well and like, hey, man, chilling, dude? Because not only do I drink coffee, I drink Four Sigmatic coffee. This is made with functional mushrooms like lion's mane. And it keeps me totally on point, man. It keeps me energized but not cracked out and jittery, right? No gnarly crash. It keeps me functional because we got those functional mushrooms, man. They're actually proven by some studies to regenerate the brain, which is good for a guy like me who hits his head all the time. But yeah, man, I'm telling you, dude, this is delicious coffee and it's really healthy for you. I was worried that I was drinking too much coffee. Not anymore, man. I pound this stuff till 6 a.m. I don't even care. And they've got a special deal just for the listeners of the Wild Ride podcast. If you go to foursigmatic.com/Stevo, you get up to 40% off of any mushroom coffee bundle and free shipping. Plus, when you're there, you'll see they've got all kinds of dope stuff like mushroom cacao mix. And how about the plant-based protein powder with superfoods? Come on, dude, that's for repairing yourself. These people are tuned in to your health, and you got to try it. So go to foursigmatic.com/Stevo. And again, that's going to get you up to 40% off of any coffee bundle, mushroom coffee, and all kinds of great products, man. So take care of yourself. Take care of this podcast. Go to foursigmatic.com/Stevo. Now, let's get back to it.
I feel like my lines are all over the place. I think the only thing that's shifted is your nudity. Because, you know, being in an intimate relationship, I wasn't, like, so stoked that you just had your dick out for certain things. And we worked past that. So my line moved on that.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is kind of situational, I would say.
So did your line move on Clona Willy? And that's...
No.
No. So for the audience, keep looking. I had a Clona Willy sent to the
for
house.
Me.
Well, no, no, this is
no, no,
different.
I wanted to sell Steve-O's right, dick.
But Lux had the idea.
But here's, yeah, I had the idea. I told him that his package was so beautiful that I wanted it, like, basically cloned, like you're saying, like, cock and balls. Like, I want the whole thing. Like, I love
like
it all.
Like a mold.
I love it all. I want it all. And he's like, no, no, no. And then Scott comes up with the idea.
To sell autographed Steve-O actual dick.
Dildos. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, that's a great idea. And I'm like, oh, fucking hate you.
Did you ever clone it?
No.
Because you still have that here.
I have it just in our kitchen, hanging out.
It's been in the kitchen for like well over a year.
Yeah.
Which I love that we just have like a dildo thing in the kitchen.
Your dad's like, what's that?
Yeah, it's great.
So you're not budging on that. We can't sell Steve-O dicks yet. Or ever.
I mean,
what if we gave you a
cut? Wow, dude, I feel like Scott's really making some progress right
there. What if we gave you 5%?
Oh, there you go. You're sharing the profits. It's a co.
Can we get a verbal confirmation?
We can talk about it later.
It's okay. A co-production.
Hey, babe, what if we show Lux on the packaging and give her more of a percentage?
Mm.
Yeah. 10%?
Negotiations. But I don't, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like, you know, it is so much of our life, and you specifically, is like shared with the public. Like, it is kind of nice to have something be between us. So if it's, right, you know.
I'm not tripping over selling molds of my penis.
You could do your balls, though, and like, you know how they hang them off of trucks and stuff? Like, right, if it was your balls.
That would be good.
Maybe that's
like
a compromise.
Yeah. Even though I love
it. Oh, yeah, because like balls are more symbolic to, like, you.
Right.
Right, you're all balls.
You're
that's
okay
what
with
they
balls?
Say.
They call me all balls.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense for his who he is and what he's
okay
done in his life.
Okay, so signed balls. Let's get some clona balls.
Can I get the clona balls? Yeah.
Clona vagina? You want to sell them to
your
fans?
No, I just want my own personal of his.
Well, you have the Willy upstairs.
I
you
know.
Can,
for when he's on tour.
So, yeah, man, keep these guys are doing. I feel like this podcast is going pretty remarkably well.
Oh, yeah. It's productive. It's
productive, yeah.
It's
coming up with new products, new merch.
Keep coming, guys.
Well, I mean, like, what surprised you most as you got to know Steve, other than like his enthusiasm for production? And what do you think would surprise other people a lot that they don't realize about Steve? Because you know him more intimately than anyone, probably even more than we do.
Yeah, Scott knows him pretty intimately.
Scott does, but we don't get the pillow talk, you know?
I don't know what's... pillow talk. I thought about this the other day, is that we had the most ridiculous realization of each other however long ago, where you can do Beavis's voice and I can do Butthead's voice. And we were like in bed, just pitch dark, like doing Beavis and Butthead voices to each other. And we tried to record it, I feel like, and it didn't come out as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like
sometimes late at night, we laugh so fucking hard.
Over the dumbest, weirdest shit. Like,
yeah,
coming up with names.
Oh, my God. I enjoy it so much. I love when we're cracking each other up.
Yeah, we just come up with silly names. I mean, you guys know we have, like, our own weird language.
Baby talk.
I mean, we have just, like, a weird language, I feel like, between us.
For sure.
It is a type of baby talk, though.
Yeah, big time.
But it's unique. Yeah. It's your own little baby talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so keep coming, guys.
Well, do you have any questions for her?
Well, I mean,
I mean, out of all
I feel like we've been very nice to me. What are we not? Like?
Oh, there we go.
Like,
I earlier was trying to allude to the fact that you're the worst driver ever. And you just skipped right over it.
Yeah, let's keep going. What else? What are the other worst traits of Steve?
Well, I want to focus on the driving for a minute because I feel like it's so...
It's problematic. When I'm driving,
it is. Yeah.
When I first started working with Steve, he drove us to the airport. I almost threw up every single time we drove to the airport.
Of stress?
And of nauseousness and stress. And then he was like...
so stressful.
He was like, you drive. So then I drove... And then he's losing his mind
over
the
nothing.
Fact. No, he's losing his mind. The fact that the crosswalk, I went this far into the crosswalk, and because he got a red light ticket for doing something like that, if you go this far into the crosswalk,
then technically you ran a red light.
He will lose his fucking shit.
See, that's
weird.
I mean,
I don't know about lose my shit. I'd lose my shit on a lot of things.
Dude,
that's bizarre that you even know that, because I was so. Like, observing you drive and being with you driving, I'm like, he's just so bad. And then I realized at one point you stopped to do it, to like get into a parallel spot, and you stopped, and we're on like Melrose, like a really busy street, and like everybody's just like, what the fuck? And then he turns his blinker on, like, oh, I want this spot, and everybody starts honking.
No,
and I'm
no,
like,
I never turn on my blinker.
I know. But the point was that you were like, I'm like, you got to put on your blinker. It's like your communicator to the other cars around you. Like, you got to give them the heads up, and then you brake. And you're like, to
but
parallel
I'm not
park?
Turning, but I'm not turning.
Yeah. So you're like, to parallel park? I'm like, yes.
How did you get your driver's license? Did you fail any tests?
I failed my written test when I first I came to California. I took the written test, and it just wasn't in the cards for me to drive. So,
but you did it. But you got the
I mean, like, here's my driving history. Never even learned how to drive, period, until I was about to turn 20 years old. Picked up the car on my 20th birthday.
Got a DUI.
Got a DUI within 6 months.
Shit.
Wow.
And then I didn't have my license because I got the DUI. Mm-hmm. Got my license back, got DUI number two within 1 month of getting my license back. Now I'm still only 21 years old, and I've been driving since I was 20. And then...
What state was this?
And I was living out of this car that I got my second DUI in Florida.
Florida, okay.
And I was living out of the car. I got two DUIs. The fucking tags are expired. It was just all bad news. Ended up moving out I couldn't afford my probation. I couldn't afford my DUI class. All that shit that comes with it. I just couldn't afford it. I was homeless, living out of a car. Then these guys stole the car, which was a blessing. I moved to Albuquerque. I was like, none of my legal troubles will follow me to New Mexico because they're not felonies. So I lived with my sister in Albuquerque and did not drive for 2.5 years. And then, it was years later, I got another car. That's when I drove to California.
Yeah, but I feel like those problems, they just disappeared.
When I went back to Florida, I addressed
oh,
them.
Okay.
And whatever. Like, then when I moved to California,
You have to take a driving test to get a license.
And that's what I think is what I learned at that moment with the parallel parking. I was like, oh, he just doesn't know certain things. Like, you just don't know certain rules of the road. Like, we'll be on the freeway and it's like, we're in the like lane that's about to exit. And then he's like, oh, he like sees the exits coming all of a sudden. We're like 5 feet away from it. And then he wants to get over. And I'm like, the lines in the road thicken up to let you know that this lane's going to exit. And he was like, oh, how about that?
We
doesn't know.
Did you guys know that?
We pulled into a Rite Aid. We went into the driveway. The door to the Rite Aid was right to the right. He stopped on the sidewalk and the driveway, got out of the car, and went into the Rite Aid. And I'm sitting in the passenger seat like, a car got an accident behind me or like something happened to this car. The two cars behind me were screaming at each other because they couldn't go anywhere.
Oh my God.
The guy comes over and is trying to fight me, and I'm in the passenger seat like, I don't even know. And then for some reason, like a grocery cart just rolls in front of us, hits another car.
Oh my God.
And then Steve comes out.
This is your nightmare, by the
way. Steve
comes
out.
I can't imagine you in this situation.
Well, I'm like, dude, out just like, I'm whistling. Like, it's not me.
Yeah, totally. I'm like shaking his contigo. Uh-huh.
He comes out. No, dude, Steve comes out, and the guy's like ready to fight me. He goes, Steve-o? Can I get a selfie? And Steve's like, yeah, dude.
And that's part of the problem.
And then he takes a selfie, and Steve's like, gets back in the car. He's like, thanks for waiting here, dude. I'm like, you have no idea what just happened to me. Like, this has happened like three or four times.
Exactly. And that's part of the problem is like you get away with it because of who you are, which is great for you. But like.
But what was it? That I did, which was wrong. Like I
you pulled into the you, so the, for some of the you go you go down La Cienega, you make a ride in the Rite Aid, right?
Okay.
And then there's you know how you like the driveway kind of goes up, and then like your whole car kind of goes up into the driveway, and then there's a sidewalk, and then there's a parking lot, right? Not like
any normal driveway
like has an elevator.
Yeah,
like
okay.
You stopped. In the fucking sidewalk.
Oh, God.
So, like, nobody from the street can get around you. And then the cars behind were, like, stopping
just
on
like,
the street.
There's the front door. So that's what I need.
So you're telling me that, like, it's called live parking.
Yeah.
You were in the car. It was a live park.
Right. Turn the hazards on. You're good.
Did I turn on the hazards?
He just left you
no.
out.
And you left your door open. But then,
Oh, you
want to
talk about open doors?
What happened?
Because I could go on for about that forever.
Oh, like the house?
No, I'm just kidding.
So like the crosswalk, like running a red light ticket. This is like a month ago. We were coming back from a podcast, and he was on his phone texting. I was driving the podcast, this van back, and there's almost like an accident just coincidentally in the intersection. Right?
Okay.
I was like, oh fuck, dude! Like these cars almost hit, and then he looks up and he's like. Yeah, dude, you can't park in the crosswalk. I'm like, no, dude, these cars just almost got the gnarliest wreck of all time.
He just like glances up from his phone and thinks he's figured out what's going on. And you're like, I've been driving and paying attention and I'm way better.
He's like, dude, you really can't be parking. And he's like, it's a red light ticket. And I'm like, what, dude?
You're also like a liability as a passenger because I've been driving and you're like, here, like, read this text. And I'm like, later, dude. Like, I'm driving. You're like, no, look at this text I just sent to whoever.
It's not
like,
you're reading, like,
read it to me. You know?
It's not even look at this text. It's look at this text. And you're like, yeah. And it's like so in your face that, like, you can't read it. You're like,
always with the phone so close. Yeah. You're just like,
I'm like, read it to me. Dictate it.
Exactly.
And like, that was after we had just watched like a gnarly accident too. Remember coming back from Albuquerque or whatever? We saw like shoes fly.
Oh yeah.
And then we're driving away from that. You're like, anyway, like, read this text I just wrote. Like,
really? You saw that happen?
Yeah, we were like, if we would have been 10 cars ahead, we would have either hit this person or like they could have. I think someone got hit on a motorcycle and then like flew in front of other cars and then other cars hit those cars. It was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, that's scary.
You ever been arrested, Lux?
No, I haven't.
Haven't?
I have not been arrested.
All right, so what else about Steve that you had takes getting some use to?
Takes getting some use to.
That's such a nice way to put it.
Well, something that's interesting is I did have a motorcycle when we met, and Steve was uncomfortable with me riding around. Which makes sense. It's dangerous.
It's the most dangerous shit ever.
Yeah, and especially in LA, it's like driving in general is dangerous. Like, so I got rid of my motorcycle, and I think a lot of people would find that surprising that he is uncomfortable in motorcycles, roller coasters, which I love both.
Dude, we were driving from Oregon in his old van, Roxy.
Uh-huh.
And we were on like the highway and I was going like 65, you know, and we were turning a corner.
Okay.
And he's like, ah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Yeah. And he's like, ah. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like,
did he bring his knees up?
Yeah.
He was like, ah.
And he's like, it's just freaking me out. I'm like, what's freaking you out? He's like, dude, I'm like, am I driving too fast? He's like, no. And he's just like, it just looks like it's too crazy going around this turn in the car. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, it's similar to a roller coaster, right?
The effect. I don't know.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So something else that we've talked about that I had to get used to is, you know, I'm obviously not famous. So being with a famous person, like, he gets so much attention everywhere we go. And it was an adjustment for me to not get attention. Like, you know.
Like a hot chick?
I respect that so much. Lux was just like, hey, you know, like, I'm a hot chick. And
no, I didn't say that specifically.
Well, right, but yeah.
Have you seen this ass, honey? No.
I'm a 10.
Well, I mean, you know, like, I know the amount of attention I get going out, and then it's, like, significantly decreased. Right. Since I've been with you, and it was an adjustment. Like,
it's totally true. She didn't say I'm a hot chick. Yeah. However she put it was thoroughly appropriate, and it was so candid and intimate to say, like, hey, you know, like, it's a thing. Like, being used to getting a lot of attention as an attractive woman, and then all of a sudden you're with this guy who just sucks all of the attention out of the room. Like, it was tough for me. And I was like, wow, you know, like, I respect you so much for saying that, and you know,
it was an adjustment, but I'm, it was in the beginning deal, but now it's good. But yeah, that was something.
Do you get more attention from dudes before or after being with Steve-O? Like, dudes hit on you now, but like
before.
Before,
yeah.
But what about since you got your titties?
Oh, yeah, it's a new kind of.
That's it, my buddy.
It's a new kind of world of getting hit on, and it's even
because
creepier.
Of titties.
Yeah,
my buddy Kebo was. I was like, yeah, you know, Lux wants to get big tits, and he was like, oh, dude, don't let her do that. And I was like, what? And he was like, man, that's all I've ever heard about, man. When a guy's chick gets fake tits, then it ruins the relationship. Because now all of a sudden she gets so much attention from other dudes. And then if you let her get fake tits, you're going to lose her. Hmm. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, we're not worried
You're
about
like, if
that,
I don't let her get fake tits, she's not going to let me get fake tits.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is Steve a good lover? Is he a gentle lover? Is he a selfish lover?
No, he's a good lover.
He's a giver?
Yeah, he is.
We bicker over who gets to give or girls' sex.
Yeah. Mm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, no.
Yeah.
We call the act of receiving.
No.
Oh, sorry. That we call the act of giving oral sex.
A
receiving
treatment.
Because when I came back from Peru with Wendy on the trip, and I don't know if people know this, but Paul Brisky, we met in Peru.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the Ultimate Expedition mountain climbing thing. And that whole expedition was just sun-baked, lips cracked, like the gnarliest like exposure to the elements ever.
Yeah.
I come home from that trip and my lips are just I looked gnarly.
Yeah.
And I was like, babe, my lips are like, you know, and she's like, I was like, I need to eat your pussy.
Yeah, to heal it.
It's a moisture.
Heal my lips. Yeah. Like, you know, and I needed treatment.
Yeah.
And I just ate her box until my lips were better. And ever since then,
and it works.
I need a treatment, which means I need to go down on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She says, no, but I want a treatment.
Yeah.
Mm. And then there's a treatment, and then there's a complete treatment.
Full treatment. Yeah.
Which is what?
Maybe it means
finish.
That.
Finger up the butt?
No, you finish.
No, just all the way.
You finish your partner.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
I just thought that came with the package.
That's a combo.
I mean, you can have a treatment.
That's combo
which is,
A.
There's a treatment that's just warm up for intercourse.
Sure. Foreplay.
Intersex.
Who is that? You dress
and
up like a girl.
And then there's a complete treatment,
right?
Which is like to the finish line.
Wow, yeah. It's like booking a spa almost. Like, okay, we'll put you down for the complete treatment.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, Stephen Glover. Welcome.
We're good.
And we play on that too.
I mean, I think people would expect Steve to like be into some freaky, weird sex because he's a dude who's like, he'll show you his butthole to a crowd of 80,000 people.
ICP.
And it's
so, like, when he's getting intimate,
it's opposite.
Well, is there anything that you want to do that he doesn't want to do that's too, like, exploratory in the bedroom?
She's been, like, popping up in some pretty rad costumes lately.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you guys dress up? That's your thing?
I do,
I mean, she'll just surprise me. She had this one thing. She pops out of the closet, and she's wearing, like, nothing but electrical tape, it looks like.
Yeah, and I loved how you're like, that's a very elaborate way to not have clothes on. Like, you're still not dressed, but you, like, have all these straps everywhere.
It looked like electrical tape, and it was dope, you know?
Yeah.
And then she had this other one, this other outfit that she popped out.
What's the secret to keeping the, because you guys have been together for a little while, like just keeping the.
We're going on 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. And you guys, you know, seem like you still have sex like rabbits because I've heard you in Waco, Texas. I heard Steve giggling.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what kind of stuff
are
they into?
We were very quiet. I feel like
so you did have
us,
sex
like,
that night.
I heard, yeah, you probably heard us like before or after. But
Steve was just like, he was laughing like Beavis.
Beavis, yeah. But wait, I feel like Steve, you avoided Scott's question. Was there anything that Lux wants to do that you're like, whoa, that's a little too freaky for me?
I mean, I don't know. Lux wants to be more experimental. And she's like, just tell me like what... you know, like what crazy shit. She's like, I'll dress up like whatever, like, you know, like let's fucking.
Right. And also in the beginning of our relationship, I let you know that I also like women. And I was like, so, you know, and you're like, no, I'm not into that.
I don't think that there's anything remotely healthy about threesomes in a committed relationship.
How many girls have you dated in the past?
I don't know.
Define date. You mean like how many pussies
my,
have you
my eaten? Number yeah. My number between men and women is pretty equal. I think Steve pushed it over to have more for the men with Steve. But it's pretty neck and neck with men and women.
Hmm. So like 150 and 150.
I'm pretty just straight on bisexual, yeah.
You still find women attractive?
Yeah, of course. I find women more attractive than I do men. Like, for me to find a male attractive, they have to be, like, just something about them or, like, really fucking good looking or, like, great person. Like, it has to be most guys that girls are like, oh, he's so hot. I'm like, I don't see it.
What's your type of woman?
I mean, I've been all over the spectrum of, like, looks.
You like big boobs, small boobs, big butt, small butt, skinny?
Any of that. I like pretty girls with, like, style.
Who's your celebrity crush? A girl?
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie, yeah. Mm. For sure. number one since day one.
Very good. And what about for men, other than Steve?
Stephen Glover. men. See, it's more of a thinking thing. Like, I can think of like 20 girls, but for dudes, I think Michael B. Jordan is handsome. I think he's pretty hot.
Okay.
I mean, he's like epic.
See, exactly. Like, that's what I mean. Like,
you know, if I was gay, dude, you know who I'd go after?
Yeah,
a celebrity?
Let's hear it. Who?
I think Shia LaBeouf.
No, really? You wouldn't. Really?
Probably.
He's like,
that's a very
dark
interesting
and mysterious
choice.
Type. Yeah, that does surprise me.
But he's like a
me.
Good-looking dude.
He's gotten ripped lately, right? But then didn't he get into trouble with?
Now, if I was gay.
Yeah.
Well, what about you?
You comment on men's attractive.
Yeah, I mean, I think
sure. Oh, damn, yeah. I'm always weighing in on dudes.
Which is cute. I love
which of the if you had to date somebody in the Jackass crew, who'd you date? Looks wise.
I mean,
Knoxville's right, handsome.
You kind of gotta go for Knoxville, right?
But I feel like your chemistry with Pontius. It's kind of what would make a relationship last.
That's true, too.
That's true,
well,
yeah.
Is this just a fuck, or is this like a long-lasting? Yeah. This
fuck,
like
Mary, kill.
Fuck, Mary, kill. Yeah. That'd be fun.
I don't know. I think that.
Wait,
who's
your celebrity crush?
Yeah, I really like the girl from Mad Men, the redhead.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know her name.
Christina something.
Oh,
Hendricks.
Yeah.
Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you, Paul?
I don't know. Rihanna has always done it for me.
She's hot.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah.
When you
she's like flawless.
Miley
when you,
Cyrus.
When you fly into like Barbados, there's a big poster of Rihanna.
Nice.
Man, she's hot as shit.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Wow. She's a hottie. For dudes, though, I don't know. Brad Pitt has always kind of done it for
Brad
me
Pitt's
for
an
dudes.
Easy one.
But if you had to suck a celebrity dude's dick, who would you choose? You could choose anyone, but you're going to have to suck their dick. This is a complete treatment. I might go with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Brad Pitt. I feel like Shia LaBeouf would just like face fuck me and like,
yeah,
and like leave, and I'd be like, "What happened?"
Yeah,
like,
or, like
Brad Pitt would be like gentle, you know.
Uh huh.
That's kind of gnarly.
I mean, dude, Ryan Reynolds is fucking hot, dude.
He's got a great body.
I think he's a body,
and he's funny. Like,
and he's funny,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and his face is gorgeous.
Okay.
And his body's like, yeah, Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
And he's a good kisser.
Yeah.
So were you in a relationship with a girl before you met Steve? Like right before? Was the transition from a girl to Steve?
No. Mm-mm. No.
But you're going to say something?
But that was a open relationship where I did date women.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like that would be hard to be in an open relationship just because it would never work.
It's tricky. It's you know, relationships are tricky in general, and so to add like this other element, I felt like for me the best way to go about it that I could like assess from the beginning was like if the relationship's having problems, then it's closed. If the relationship is good and we're both in a good spot, then it's open again. But but that didn't work out, so. Yeah, you're right. Like, you know, I agree with you on that one. But
what's different about Steve than anybody else you dated? Why, you know, you're deciding to marry him? It's like, what was so special about him?
Yeah, you know, I never cared about marriage or like getting married or never thought about my wedding day or anything like that.
Really?
No, ever. And then really early on with you, like probably like June of 2017, I remember thinking like, I want to marry this man. Like, I want that, like, union with him. Like, that, like, you know, bringing together of our lives. And it was more about that than, like, the wedding or anything. So I knew that pretty early on. It wasn't, I don't know, it was just something I realized.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's like when you know kind of deal. Like, people always say that, and then.
When did you know?
Like, June of that year.
When he first went down and gave you a treatment.
it was when he burned himself.
That happened July 3rd of 2017.
Okay. In Denver. You flew out?
So before that, and then that happened, and then it was like.
Yeah, it was a pretty heavy, that whole little like time around me getting burned and having the skin graft surgery was intense, man. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of heavy stuff kind of going on. It was like this perfect storm of like spirituality and intensity and, you know, commitment. And I remember it being around that time that I had the idea that I wanted to ask you to marry me. But I knew that it wouldn't be like soon. I just had the idea.
Yeah.
And so I got you to get your ring sized. Yeah. Like, just as we were like, oh, yeah. Like, just, you know.
Which was so cute.
You had no idea?
No. Like, we had talked briefly about, like, I think in the hospital we had talked about, like, you know, like, this is new for us. Like, we've never wanted to get married. But here we are, like, wanting that, like, and just being okay with it, you know. Like, and then after we've been home and you had something and you like just were going to run in really quick for 15 minutes. And
I had an appointment with my psychiatrist.
Yeah. I didn't want to tell your story, but yeah. And you were like, I think, you know, there's probably like a jewelry store around here. Like, do you want to go get your finger sized? And I was just like, well, that's fucking cute. And there were a ton of jewelry stores around, but it was in Beverly Hills. And I was just like,
wait, didn't it send you into a pawn shop?
No, I found a pawn shop, and I was like, this is where I'm going to go. And you text me, you're like, did you find a store? And I was like, yeah, I'm at a pawn shop on the corner. And you're like, oh, I love it. And so, yeah, we went in there.
And then, I remember she told me the size. I remember. And then, like a year later, however long, 6 months later. Six months later, I'm going to go get the engagement ring. I tell this engagement ring jeweler her size. They refuse to believe me. They're like, no way that her finger's that small. You've totally remembered it wrong. And I'm like, no, dude. And I fucking, her ring's just that small.
Hmm. Yeah. But you do have an exceptionally impressive memory.
Well, thanks.
You know, like, we'll be talking to him, and he's, like, so distracted, and you think he didn't even know you were talking. And then he'll get done with what he's doing, and then he'll be like, he'll repeat the exact verbatim question that you asked him, and then he'll answer it. And you're like, what the fuck? How did you do that? Like,
well, you also asked me that question in October of 2019.
Yeah, I answered it the same way. He remembers dates. Yeah. How many times has he, like, spitfire dates just in this podcast?
Yeah, no. Or, like, you'll be like, use the take where I said, like, this one, like, very minute little thing. I'll be like, oh, okay, I think I remember you saying that. And, like, of course, it's there, it's the right take, you know?
Yeah, your memory is crazy, and which is impressive, just, like, you know, at base, and then
I know, and then after all the fucking head trauma and drugs, and,
right? Yeah, it's
yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, I've smoked a lot of weed, and my memory is not as good as your. My memory's pretty good, but still not. It's impressive.
What's next for you guys? Obviously, you know,
we talk about the animal sanctuary plan a lot.
Mm-hmm. But have you guys narrowed it down to where you think, is it for sure?
I mean, it changes a lot since the idea has come up, and to this day,
we had the idea of the animals. We thought about the animal sanctuary being like this nonprofit organization with all these revenue streams to keep it going, and it's a destination where people come and visit and all that. And during the pandemic, I just watching all the stimulus money and the trillions of dollars of debt, and it's just like all of the speeding up of like what makes America precarious. I think the American economy and the dollar is like has been precarious and considerably more so after the pandemic. And I started looking to Canada, you know. Mm-hmm. So, the Canadian border's been shut down. I think it's starting to open back up. We'd love the idea of going to go look there. And maybe if we get a property in Canada and turn it into this fun farm, it's more of a self-sustainable farm that kind of runs itself and less... And more of like a off-the-grid, like doomsday prepper kind of a farm type deal where we just dip out. And don't want to draw any attention to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it looks like more. But whatever it does look like, we've really like kind of settled on the idea of getting married on that property.
We've been a little more flexible with it just because we're so busy and hardly home, which we love our schedule. We love our lives. And it's like, okay, realistically, if we had a home in Canada... would we be there? Would we go there? Is that
right? But then I saw this video, like called like how Johnny Knoxville spends his $75 million, and it's like, well, he bought this property in Florida, this property in Tennessee. Like he's got fucking. I never heard anything about it until I saw that video. I'm like, I said, babe, you know, who cares if our schedule's busy? Like, I think that. Like owning properties all over the place might be the call.
And I'm like, cool, I've been telling you that for 5 years.
Are these rental properties or are these animal sanctuary properties?
I don't want to be a landlord on any level. Like the idea of buying a property to rent out to people so that you can force to evict people who are down on their luck. I don't want to be a.
So at the very least, it's an investment property.
Right. Exactly, I like investment property.
Yeah. But that's not always the case. And I think.
If we buy a property in Canada and turn it into a farm and we're just too busy to be there, I want to have like a family of farmers.
Ranch picture hands. Some Amish living there in the shed in the backyard
or whatever, like, you know, maybe there's some situation where like a farmer and his family like have like had hard times and like they need a place to stay and they could stay on our property like for free and just help kind of get it going.
Take
as
care
a farm
of the land and the animals. Yeah.
Some sort of help like that is probably going to be necessary anyway, right? If you guys are going to have
and it's,
more
it's
animals
pretty standard
and more...
for large properties. Yeah. It's like, you know, even if people sell, it's like the ranch hand usually stays there because they know the land mm-hmm. so well and like have worked on it forever.
Right.
Like it's pretty common, we're finding.
Right, and it's got to have the property in Canada has to have two dwelling units. So it's got to be like the main house and like the you know, the second house.
Definitely.
So this happens.
And you know, I presume that people are probably listening. And if there's people in British Columbia listening,
and the Amish,
you know,
people
like,
out there.
the person to hit up
families
would be
of farmers.
The people, if there's families with farmers in British Columbia. They should DM Lux and be like, hey.
So this is like a 6 to 12 month plan. Like,
but here's the thing.
We've targeted a date for our actual wedding.
Right. So, but we're honing in on a date, which is exciting. But we talked about Canada and then we talked about the realization if we're not there, how much sense does it make? So then we're like, oh, maybe we'll get married somewhere else. And that's the last that we talked about it.
Steve's already made plans. He's got the venue, the date,
which I'm cool with. Like,
I want to get married on a property in Canada.
You want a big
baby,
wedding?
Let's do it.
I want to get married on a property in Canada. Now that we've said this and put this out into the ether, the universe.
Yep.
Like, I think the people from British Columbia are going to be like, hey, like, we want to like get your property going and live there.
And where can they find you to reach out to
let's
you, Lux?
Do it.
Lux.
On my Instagram, Lux a lot.
Lux.
Do you Lux a lot?
Lux
a lot. Somebody, my dad looked at my Instagram. I said, show dad an Instagram post. And he's like, oh, Lux likes that a lot.
That's so good.
Liked by Lux a lot.
Yeah, which is great.
It's more than one like.
By Lux a lot. Yeah.
If I like it, I like it a lot. It's just no in between.
So that's cool. So you guys So it's Canada. Big wedding, small wedding, intimate?
Tiny.
Small. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tiny.
How many bridesmaids are you going to have?
I mean,
you got to have Bailey.
But here's
you
the thing.
You got to have Nicole.
Here's the thing.
You got to have Ashley.
Yeah, I love all that.
And you got to have Monica.
And Andrea.
And Andrea.
Oh,
but here's the thing.
That's going to be a big one.
Yeah, there
here's
it goes.
The
just
thing
keeps going.
Is that there are so many details and decisions that go into wedding planning that I don't care about. And so,
but that's your job. Like, you would love it because it's, you do it for work anyway.
Right. So that's the other thing is like, I do want it to be small and intimate. And with what I do, there's the other side where I'm like, I can turn this into whatever the fuck I want and like make it like an experience. And
Amish
I do,
wedding.
And I do like the idea of like multiple day thing where
Indian
it's like,
wedding.
Yeah. Where people come and like, you know, it's like today we're doing this, tomorrow we're doing that. You can join if you want, but everybody gets to know each other beforehand and like, you know, establish relationships. So then when the wedding actually happens, then it's like so much more intimate and fun.
Colombian wedding.
And yeah, and it's just, you know, it's like a lot for one day. I want it to be extended. Like, so like there's, I'm on two ends of the.
So it's like a Canadian wedding.
The spectrum.
Canadian tuxedo, everybody wears jean suits.
Would there be an open bar at your wedding? And would you be weirded out if people are like getting fucked up there and shit like that, you know?
There will be alcohol there, Paul, if that's what you're asking.
No, yeah, I'm just curious your feeling about it.
And psychedelics and whatever else you friends are into.
It will not be a dry wedding.
That's a good question.
I mean, I don't think I would care too much. I think anybody that I'm close enough with that they would be at my wedding would be super respectful.
Sure. And I mean, nobody ever wants anyone to get super fucked up at their wedding and make a fool of themselves anyway. But anyway, I was just curious.
I'm not particularly concerned. I mean, with being around drinking, like, dude, for 10 years, you know, 10 years it's been comedy clubs and my crowd drinks more than anybody's fucking crowd. Like,
cool. I was just curious.
What I don't like is breathing people's weed.
Because that's BC
like entering
butt.
My body if I'm breathing it in.
Yeah.
Like if you got a drink in your hand, I'm not drinking it. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever, I don't care. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we have some wedding planning to do then.
Yeah.
You plan it and I'll show up.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll plan it. Scott.
Yeah, that's true too.
So we're getting ready to shoot one of our fun naked photos. I'm so excited.
Is that going to be part of this podcast? Are you going to show it or are you going to show it?
I don't think so. I can't wait. I think I picture it getting posted immediately once we
how exciting.
Get it. But yeah, baby, I love you.
I love you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
I think this was really good podcast.
We should do this again, honestly. Yeah. This was really fun.
I really liked it. I want to keep going. But you're ready to go.
Can you tell with his body language?
I know. He's
Steve
says
forward. At one hour, you're like this.
That's another thing that we have had to like work on is like we'll be at anywhere eating and then he's done, so he's like ready to go and I'm still like drinking whatever.
Okay, cool, let's go. And then throws in the card. He's standing up and you're like 18 bites in.
Yeah, like, hello, where's the awareness of what? But your dad called you on that, and since your dad pointed it out and made you feel like shit one time, I think you've been a lot better.
Good.
Yeah. You're gonna have to go. We have a meeting at 2:00, and you're gonna go buy a GoPro before then.
Yeah,
welcome.
There's a GoPro somewhere in your house. There's like three of them.
All right, how do we end this podcast?
I love you, honey, and thank you for being on the podcast.
I love you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
Can you do an impression? I want to see you guys do like your language.
Butthead.
No, that or your language, how you guys talk to each other. It's like, you like it, honey?
I'm like, you too.
Dude, it's funny. Like, Steve will accidentally, he'll accidentally text me one time. I'm like, you like it, babe? I'm like, bro. And then he's like, oh, sorry, dude. Like, wrong person. I'm like, what the fuck goes on?
You like it? Yeah. Do you long go?
I really long go.
Really long go.
All right.
That was fantastic.
Good night, everybody.
That's great.
How about that, dude? Is my girl dope or what? You know who else is dope? My man, Paul Brisky. And he's got big news. It's a kid, okay? It's That Kid. It's That Kid Is You, which is his musical band. And their album's out, dude. So, fuck, come on, what are you doing, dude? Do you not already have it, dude? Are you not a fucking bro? I mean, come on, dude. Let's support Paul Brisky, the gorgeous Paul Brisky, and listen to That Kid Is You. That's the name of the artist, That Kid Is You. Find it on Spotify and...
Yeah, find it everywhere. The album's Argentina, Spotify, Apple Music.
It's called
Argentina, and the band is That Kid Is You. So just look it up. You'll love it.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for fucking sticking around, guys. I love you.